The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. After suffering through an abusive childhood, Karen Green was prostituting herself while raising her son.
I ended up pregnant out there, and my son was out there on the streets with me. And I got really deep into drugs, and because I felt like that's all I knew. And little did I know, God had a plan.
A miraculous story of restoration, next on Life Today.
Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
I like to watch you. You know what I mean? Y'all like to watch Betty? Y'all like to watch Betty? Didn't she pretty? I say to audiences here all the time in person, say to you, did I not do good over 50 years ago to find this girl when I was a teenager? Did I do good? Y'all like what the good? Y'all are supposed to clap out there. I need a little help around here. Betty, I love you, honey. I feel like we are the most blessed couple. To have three children that love Jesus and 11 grandchildren that love Jesus, and now having grandchildren get married to spouses that love Jesus. And you know me, so that just sounds amazing, almost too good to be true. No, it's not really too good to be true. It's a miracle, but it's the kind of miracle God wants for all of us, but a lot of us don't have. I didn't have it. Betty had a fairly stable family. I didn't. And I'm typical of most families today, and we get in a lot of trouble. Our guest named Karen Green is... I think a real sad example of what happens so often to girls and women. But the incredible thing is that the beauty of the power of love, I mean real love, to totally change what could have appeared hopeless and make something beautiful. I want you to welcome a miracle in person to Life Today. Welcome Karen Green. Would you welcome Karen? Karen, glad to see you.
Glad to be with you.
I want you to by the way, you go to the Potter's House.
Yes,
sir. T.D. Jakes.
Yes, sir.
Bishop Jakes, how are you, sir? We love you. You know, I mentioned that I was able to do the opening prayer and the dedication of the Potter's House
yes,
when
sir.
It was dedicated.
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Jakes has been here many times, and we have done things together.
Yes, sir.
You don't look like the kind of person with the background study to end up at the Potter's House and have a ministry. And what you told me, it would be the last place people would think you'd end up was being in church because of what all happened. I want you to tell our viewing audience about your story because, I mean, you had quite the journey.
Yes,
and
sir.
It could have had a disastrous ending.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about it.
Well, I was the oldest of five children, and my mom worked day and night. And which left me responsible for my brothers and sisters.
How young were you when you began to have that responsibility?
I was about 8 years old.
My
about
goodness.
8 years old. Yeah. And it was five of us. Mm. My baby brother was about 6 months, 7 months
and
old.
And you had to be like the caretaker,
yes.
The mom at home for
yes.
The mom that's gone.
Yes, sir. Yes, I did.
Big responsibility.
Big responsibility. And a lot of times, because my mom was gone a lot, she would ask the neighbors to kind of watch us. And there was a neighbor that lived next door to us, him and his wife and their children, and we used to play with the kids. But during the summer, when he was there alone and he was there watching us, he would call me out and tell me to come over. And when I would get over to his house, he would funnel with me. He would tell me how big my legs were and how pretty my legs were. And he would touch me in areas. And then he would turn around and give me money. And up the street was a candy, a store. And I would go up to that store and I would get cookies and candy. And I would bring it back to my brothers and my sister. And we would, you know, just do what kids do. Things went on. And one day he called me and told me to come on over here. And I did. And when I got over there, he asked me to let Lewis. Lewis was his son. He asked me to let Lewis lay on top of me. And because he was my authority figure, I did just that. Now, I knew that was wrong, you know, and I knew
something
inside of me that was wrong. So I told my mom about it. And my mom was furious, and she came home, and she called the police. And, of course, he had absconded. You know, he ran. And, of course, my mom still had to work the next day, and we being children coming out, we came out to play, and I remember being out in the yard and playing, and we had a little dog. I was running around in the yard, and I seen him. And he picked up a piece of brick, and he threw the brick, and it hit my face, and it broke my nose. And my mother came home again, and she called the police, of course, and of course he was gone. But she was, you know, she had to get me to the hospital. And once she got me to the hospital and the doctor reset my nose, she brought me home, and I remember her laying me on the sofa. And on the sofa, you know, it was right in front of the door. And back then we had screen doors, you know. And I could see the lady, his wife. I could see her coming out of her house, and she was coming over. And when she walked through the door, she looked at me on the sofa, and she said, "I don't believe what she said. I don't believe none of what she said." And right then, I shut down. I thought everything was my fault. So I didn't tell my mother anything else after that, and a lot of things happened. I was very promiscuous. By the time I was 13, I had a baby myself. So I went from taking care of my mom's babies to taking care of my baby. My mother was very angry because I had a baby at that early age, but she still let me stay there. And during this time, she had a man that she had let come to stay with her, and he was living with us. And I'll never forget this morning, he called me, and there was a little stairway, a little door that led underneath the stairs, and he said, "Come here." And I did, and he touched me in a way that wasn't supposed to. And I immediately went and told my mom. And my mom went upstairs, and she packed my clothes. And she kept the man. She called my aunt, and my aunt came and got me. And when I got to my aunt's house, she said, "I want to tell you something. You won't be dating these little boys because you got a baby." So I ended up dating her friends that were 50 and 60 years old. And she told me when I went out with them, she said, "Make sure that before when you get ready to get out of the car, make sure they give you some money." And I did just that because she was my authority figure.
Wow.
And when I would come in the door.
Can we even imagine us being this sick and then wonder why certain things are going on? You know, I just almost wish you could insert, because we're going to get there, but what's the answer to this kind of mess?
What's the answer? The answer is Jesus, because we have so many young girls that are out there that are going through the same things. As I travel and I go to different youth facilities, as I go to the prisons and I give my testimony, they say, "That's me."
Yeah, because see, you went through and you actually became a prostitute.
Yes,
did drugs and so forth get into the situation?
Of course, I ended up on the street because that's all I knew. Yeah, I ended up on the street. I had got into trouble, kept getting into trouble.
In fact, did you think it was the only way you could make a living?
That was the only thing I knew. When I left my aunt's house because of what was going on, I was about 15, 16 years old, and I didn't know nothing else but what was exhibited before me.
Sure.
I remember how the young old men gave me money.
Yeah, and were the other girls doing the same thing that looked like they were trapped the same way?
No, you're talking about that. What other girls? Were talking about the girls that were with me? Or
yeah, I mean, were they working, turning tricks too because they thought that's the way they had to make a living?
Of course.
They were trapped.
You know, a lot of times, let me just go on into this. A lot of times when women are out there, they think that this is something that women have chosen to do. But this sometimes is the only way that these women know how to survive.
Yeah, and even if they're not taken like by a predator and put into sexual bondage, they have actually found themselves in it because they think it's the only way to survive.
Yes, they put themselves in it.
And if they have children, it's the only way they can try to take care of their child.
Now listen, I ended up pregnant out there, and my son was out there on the streets with me. And I got really deep into drugs and was walking, you know, the street every day and sitting him over. I would get the, make the date and get the money and go get my son and take my son with me. Because I felt like that's all I knew. And I had to take care of my baby. So I took my baby and I gave him to my brother and his wife, and I went onto the streets. And things got really bad because I started going in and out of jail. Ended up with a 25-year sentence on a deferred adjudicated probation. But just as feeling I can do all things, I wasn't minding anybody, went right back out that door. They gave me another chance, went right back to the street and started doing it over again. One Saturday evening, I was so hurt because I want you to understand that this was the life that I knew. And every time I went to the street, I dressed up that pain. That little girl that stood on the steps where our daddy drove away, that little girl that stood while that man told her to, I dressed that pain up every day and went to the streets. And when that pain drove me, one Saturday, I was doing what I normally do, and I just got tired. I had went and I had went to report and I knew I had to do dirty UA. And that Saturday morning I got up and I said, I'm tired. And I knew if I turned myself in, I was going to do all 25 of those years. But I didn't care if it took 25 years for my life to change. I was willing to do all 25 of those years.
What happened to you when you ended up getting in prison? Because I know we've got a turning point.
The judge gave me one more chance. And they had a program and they sent me to in Huntsville. And when I got down there to Huntsville, I really didn't care. And I didn't do church. Can I say that? I didn't do church. But just to get out of the dorm with all 56 of those other women, I went to church. And little did I know, God had a plan. Because one Saturday evening when I went to church, I went all the way up to the front of the chapel and I sat down and they put this tape in there of this fat man, this heavy set man, bald headed, and he was talking and he was preaching and seemed like he was preaching right to me. I know it. And as he began to minister to this woman, I felt him ministering to me. And right in that moment, I gave my life to Christ.
Amen.
And I have not looked back since. The Lord has kept me.
What are you doing now? And just because of, you know, limited time.
Okay.
I want everybody to know what you're doing right now.
Yes,
but
sir.
I want them to know because you're in the Dallas area.
Yes, sir.
And you go to Potter's House now.
Yes,
at church home, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you do in Dallas? What's your
I am an advocate.
Since you met Jesus.
I am an advocate for the PDI project here in Dallas, Texas. And my ministry partnered with the Dallas Police, Dallas Sheriff Department. And they bring, once a month, they go out and bring the women off the street. And instead of these women going to jail,
we offer them other options. And you know what? This is a, praise God.
Yes,
and I can't help but believe pastors, great pastors like you know, Bishop Jakes or Tony Evans and so many other wonderful pastors have inspired this. And I just bless God for any of our forces, law enforcement, others who have enough wisdom to know this is the real hope. And I admire you and respect you for it. Pray God just protects all of you. But this is wonderful. So you get a shot at these women that are trapped where you were trapped.
Yes, sir.
And you tell them about the love of God.
Yes, sir.
Do you see any of them get changed?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. They have an 18-month program that I am an advocate in the county courthouse under the leading of Judge Lena Lavario, the 204th District Court. I'm an advocate for that project, and it's an 18-month program where the women that are on their last leg and have quite a few prostitution cases are being supervised by the judge every Monday.
God bless
they
you.
Have a counselor.
Praise God. I want to get you some help. Can people who are watching in the Dallas area, can even people in other areas, is there any way they can find out how they might get similar programs in their cities?
Yes.
Where would they go?
They can go to...
You don't have a website, do
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
You know, what is it?
My website is havenoflove.net.
Okay. Uh-huh. If somebody emailed you and said, we want to come help you...
Yes, sir.
You could tell them where to go...
Yes, sir.
...where to be. Yes, you give them some times, right?
Yes, sir.
Or if somebody says, we want to know if we could do a similar thing... Is the judge or some of the police officers able to help?
We have had law enforcement officers that have come from Canada.
Wow.
From Georgia.
Wow.
From a lot of the states around the United States to
That's wonderful.
See this program.
And do they listen?
And they go back and mimic it in their communities.
Do you like like what you That's just wonderful. Heard happening? The miracle that you do not surely. Surely you can see that what God does works when people have enough wisdom and insight to give God a chance. Think about this. This is the God that's being dismissed more and more out of public life.
Yes.
I mean, and out of our government.
Yes.
And out of every area of life. Do you realize who it is that's pulling those strings?
Yes.
That this is the realm of deception and darkness and destruction.
Yes. Yes,
and
sir.
It is the realm of light and strength. We stand up. And I want to compliment that judge. You know the judge's name again?
Lena Lavario.
Lena, I want to give you a big hug, okay? Lena, bless you, because you're doing what's so wise. That's making a wise judgment.
Yes, sir.
And to the officers, and just keep it up.
You know, James, these women are coming off the street, and of course they are going in the treatment programs, and it's a 45-day program. But after that, we need a place that they can come. And we can really begin to help them to know the love of Christ.
All right, let's make that a matter of prayer, because you know I'm pretty easy to getting to help people. I tell you what I want you to do. You pray about what she's talking about. There could be someone that has even a building in the Dallas area that says, you know what, I could make it available. Father, I just pray you'll open
Lord.
Doors and hearts like you have opened
Lord.
Our wonderful guest's heart in such a supernatural, supernatural way. What
yes,
you've
Lord.
Done in Karen's life, God, is nothing short of a miracle.
Yes, Lord.
It's a miracle. And now you're working miracles in the lives of others. So
yes,
just
Lord.
Multiply. Multiply
yes,
the miracle
yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name. There again, there's her website. And some of you can connect. And I pray with great wisdom and great determination you will, and with
yes,
great
Lord.
Love. Again, tell Karen, thank you for your tenacity and your devotion, your dedication.
Yes, sir.
And Karen, I want to show you something.
Yes, sir.
And I want to show our viewers something
yes,
that
sir.
I know will touch your heart and their heart.
Yes, sir.
This is one of the most moving things I've ever seen from the 25-year relationship that Betty and I've had with missionary Peter Pretorius. Just recently, I want you to look in on this experience. Whatever you do, don't turn away. Watch this. Because it is so very important. Watch closely.
Betty missed it off to me. Eh? Okay. Have any of you mothers here ever lost a child because of malnutrition, of a lack of food? And if you've lost more than one, then show us how many you've lost by showing us how many fingers. I mean, look at that. That one's lost five. That one's lost five.
She's lost
seven. Oh, Jesus. And I mean, nearly all of them, eh? I think it is beyond words. I think it is absolutely horrible. I mean, I struggle even for words to be able to explain what feelings are in my heart. And I've never lost one of my kids. I've never lost one of my grandkids. And I just think if one of my precious little grandkids, if I lost them, what it would mean. And imagine if I lost them to starvation and I couldn't actually do anything about it because I didn't have any food. I didn't have any means to be able to help my child, you know, and watch their child die in front of me. Well, this woman's watched 10 of them die in front of her. Please, James, let's do this and let's do it now.
Oh boy, I just, would you please help us, Betty? What goes on in your heart when you see that? I just can't believe when Peter sent that back to me.
That's a powerful question. I can put one finger up. I've lost one child. But there's so many, our child wasn't because she was hungry. Our child got all the care and the need that we could offer her and the help. But these children, they lost their children because they just didn't have anything to eat. I can't even imagine. We can make the difference in that. I mean, it should not be. It breaks God's heart. It should break our hearts. I hope you'll help us. Let's help get the food to the children. This is not a way for them to have to die. It's not at all. They need to live. They need to be able to play. They need to be able to smile. Please join with us.
And I really ask you to please just move to the telephone or go to your desktop or your laptop or whatever and go to lifetoday.org or dial the telephone number and just say, look, I'm going to help feed children. I'm going to give those kids, I'm going to give them a little bowl of warm, nutritious, vitamin-enriched nourishment that will stabilize the situation, save their lives, give them a future. And when they get stable, we'll keep feeding at the school areas to keep them going to school. In other words, we're going to do whatever it is to change a life, and we'll win them to Christ because we're going to show them the love of Christ. And we're going to love them if we never got to talk to them, because love talks. But we do get to tell them about Jesus and about God's love, because it's His love that moves us. And I'm asking you to help us save all those lives. We've said many times, there's not a person watching that if you could have helped our daughter win her battle with cancer, you would have. I know you would have. But we can see. Well, like Betty said, we did everything we needed to do. We prayed, trusted God. And she's just doing awesome now, no doubt. But here's the thing, her children are, and her family, they're full of God. But we can save these little children. And we can get them in the feeding lines. We can give them the nourishment. So when I say we, that's us together, not me and Betty. We're among the strongest, most faithful givers of our whole ministry because we believe it. We've been our lives. We've gone to the ends of the earth to try to put God's arms around hurting people. And we'll never stop. You help us do that. So we're asking you today to help us feed hundreds of thousands of children for the next several months. And a gift of 30, 50, or 100 will feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. We'll send you some beautiful gifts, a devotional book, a beautiful study Bible that is absolutely fabulous. Beautiful leather bound, easy to read, big print, just to help you. It's a beautiful reference Bible. And I'm asking you to give us a chance to bless you, but bless others by making the largest gift you can. Lifetoday.org, make it online or write a check to Life and call us. Call that number. Others are calling to give their life to God today, to turn it over to Christ. I know that. But you call to say, I'm going to give somebody life because He gave us life, and we're going to share His love. Please do that. Please make the call. Be persistent if you get busy and say, I'm going to make the call. I'm going to save some precious mother's child or grandparent's grandchild. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give them a chance. Thank you for making that call. Don't let anything stop you, and may God direct you in your giving. Thank you for your love.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and even some Ebola-threatened areas of Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, $100, or $300 will help feed and care for 3, 5, 10, or 30 children for the next 3 months. With your support and the partnership of others, your gift goes a long way to help save lives. Please call us, write, or go online today and make your gift. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a brand new 31-day devotional featuring inspiration from a variety of special guests of Life Today and an instrumental worship CD to bless you in your quiet times with the Lord. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, please request the NIV Larger Print Leather-Bound Reference Bible. And finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
You know, with all my heart, I pray that if you can help us care the next months for 10 children, you'll make that $100 gift, get the devotional book, and get this beautiful Bible. Betty, you and I have talked many times about how important it is to have a little bit larger print than a lot of the Bibles. Well, we've got it. And this is a wonderful reference Bible that will bless you, and it is so beautifully bound in leather. It's thin line in that it's easy to carry. But just help us put arms of love around these children and stop the horror of what mothers and grandmothers have been witnessing. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for your gift. And again, we want to thank Karen for what God's doing here. We love you and praise God for you.
Too,
thank you.
I love you.
Thank all of you so much for all you do to put God's arm around a world of pain.
Tomorrow, international Bible teacher and author, Beth Moore.
I mean, honestly, it sounded like I was holding Rudolph hostage.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.